by Sonny Jr. Read by S.K. Lee. "Hey, Grissom?" came the familiar phrase, usually followed by a question. Greg Sanders stood in front of Gil Grissom's desk with three printouts, DNA analysis. "Yes, Greg?" He looked at the young man, who was for once holding back his usual flow of speech. Grissom nodded at the papers in the young man's hand. "Are those the results from the girl found in the La Plaza pool?" "April Weston," Greg said as he handed the printouts to Grissom, and stood quietly while Grissom eyed the papers. "This sample was taken from under her fingernails?" He had a puzzled expression on his face. "I thought it was degraded. I couldn't get a full profile from that sample, but I got 9 of 13 locations, so I ran the partial profile in CODIS." Greg rocked from toe to heel. "I like to be thorough." "This is a 47.3% match to her own DNA." Grissom looked up at Greg, unimpressed. "So it was likely her own blood?" "Compliance." "What?" Grissom shuffled to the third printout. Did you? "I ran it 3 times. Greg held up fingers to emphasize the point. "I thought it was contamination, so I ran her sample with his sample." Grissom pulled off his glasses and stood. "You brought this to me first." At Greg's nod, he continued. I'll talk to Warwick. He never finished his thought, already internalizing the conversation. He left Greg standing in his office. The lab tech returned to his work, glad he wasn't Gil Grissom. Grissom went to the break room. Warwick was lounging at a table with an orange and a cup of soup. "Hey, Griss," Warwick said, around an orange wedge as his boss entered the room with a file under one arm and a frantic look on his face. "Somebody throw out your blood?" He popped another wedge into his mouth. Grissom gave a weak smile as response. "Rick?" Grissom reached into the file and pulled out the photo the girl's mother had provided and asked, "Do you know this woman?" Warwick took the snapshot from Grissom. "Late teens, auburn hair, pretty small." He turned the photo over, reading, "April, 19, in one color ink, and in another, in 2 days. "Nope." Warwick looked at Grissom, trying to get a clue from the man's face. "Is this the Vic from Sarah's drowning?" The older man's expression was grim. Warwick gave the photo a second look, attempting to recall something, anything. "I don't know her." He looked at Grissom, trying to measure his reaction. The older man was looking at him intensely. Warwick started to feel a bit uncomfortable. "What's this about, anyway?" Grissom realized he should have taken Warwick back into his office before starting this conversation. Rick, I'm sorry. Let's go to my office." He stared at a point just to the right of the younger man's ear. Warwick's features tightened. He smiled nervously and got out of his seat. Grissom led Warwick with his hand lightly on his forearm to the office. He only released the younger man's arm to let him pass in front into the room. Warwick stood in front of Grissom's desk with a thumb tucked into his back pocket. "What's going on, Gil?" Grissom sighed. "You should probably sit down." Gil Grissom was awakened by the trill of his cell phone. He had left it by his bedside with the volume on maximum. "Grissom," he said thickly and rolled onto his side. "Hey, it's me." There was a pause. "I'm sorry about earlier." "Don't worry about it, Ricky." Grissom rolled out from under the covers and sat on the edge of his bed. He scratched his head and yawned, reaching for a glass of water on his nightstand. "I'm sorry I woke you." Warwick cleared his throat and continued. "I got your voicemail." Grissom had left one short message. "Call me. We'll talk." "Are you coming over?" Grissom was fully awake now. There was another pause. "No, man, it's late. I just want you to know I'm okay." "Rick, you want to talk?" Grissom asked. "I'll come over to your place if you prefer." He stood up and walked to his dresser. "I'm getting dressed as we speak. I'm not at my place. I just finished a set at 8:57. He explained, naming the After Hours Club where he sometimes played. "I could be at your place in a half hour. I'll start some coffee." They said their goodbyes and Grissom headed to the bathroom after pulling on a pair of pants and a t-shirt. In the kitchen, Grissom loaded the coffee maker with espresso roast and cold water. He sliced some fruit and took out a box of cold cereal. He hoped that he would come up with the right words to help Warwick to bring him comfort. The subject of absent fathers was close to his own heart, as was the young man. It was 45 minutes later that a knock sounded at his front door. He pulled the door open and ushered Warwick inside. Grissom squeezed the taller man's shoulders as he passed in front of him. Hungry? Warwick followed behind Grissom, staring at the living room, taking in the condo. Nothing had changed. Art photos and awards adorned his walls, along with specimens mounted under glass. No, Warwick followed him into the kitchen anyway. The room smelled strongly of coffee and something fruity, which turned out to be strawberries. Grissom had a bowl of cornflakes and a steaming cup sitting in front of him, and he'd taken a seat on a stool at the breakfast bar. The box and an empty bowl were waiting for Warwick. Warwick sat and tipped the box of flakes into his bowl. Grissom hopped off his stool, mouthful of cereal, and poured Warwick a cup of coffee. As Grissom put the mug in front of him, Warwick was scooting the sugar bowl closer to himself. Cornflakes? The younger man commented. I'm out of Cheerios, Grissom explained as he sat back down. Warwick poured milk into his flakes and then into his coffee. He gestured at Grissom's bowl of cereal with his spoon. Where are the berries, Gil? Grissom smiled. I ate them. Warwick offered a highly offended snort. I thought you changed your mind, he explained with a shrug and got up to put the milk away. Warwick reached over and spooned four strawberry halves out of Grissom's bowl. He was hiding them under his flakes as Grissom was settling back into his seat. He raised an eyebrow at Warwick when the berries popped back to the surface of the milk. It was the younger man's turn to shrug. They sat silently as minutes passed, eating and sipping coffee. Grissom waited for Warwick to speak. He'd learned long ago to wait for the younger man to come to him. Besides, questioning his whereabouts would probably annoy Warwick. I was at the Hall of Records. Warwick's eyes never lifted from his cereal bowl. He was pushing a strawberry around the bowl, trying to keep it under the milk. It must have had a strong will, because it kept coming back to the surface. Grissom stilled the other man's hand with his own. I can't even comprehend what you are feeling, but I couldn't give you that case. Grissom looked down at their hands. Maybe I was wrong. Warwick tensed, but didn't snatch his hand away. Maybe, maybe not. He cleared his throat. I found out on my own. Public records, database, and internet. At Grissom's frown, the younger man continued. I didn't misuse my authority. His voice was even and mild, but his words sounded accusatory to Grissom. He removed his hand. Grissom was already walking around the breakfast bar, gathering dishes. He put them into the sink. I wanted you to know I didn't do anything that would reflect badly on our department. Warwick trailed off. Or jeopardize the case, he said heavily. There is no case. Warwick looked up from his cup of coffee. Her death was ruled accidental. Warwick picked up his coffee and went back into the living room, sat on the couch. He felt empty. Her death had been meaningless and preventable. He listened to Grissom turn on the dishwasher. Where was the relief he should be feeling? Did you meet them? The question erupted from Warwick when Grissom came into the room. The older man stopped in his tracks. Her parents. Warwick continued. He had his elbows on his knees, squeezing his neck. Grissom sat next to him and put his hand on the younger man's back. Sarah talked to the mother. Grissom didn't know what else to tell him. Warwick clasped his hands together and rested his head on them. I don't know. You, Grissom began, treading softly, may have a unique opportunity with your biological father in possibly getting to know something of your sister's life. Warwick didn't answer immediately, but he raised his head and unclasped his hands. His long brown fingers clenched the knees of his pants. My sister. My father. He laughed unpleasantly, because only he knew the big joke. Grissom cleared his throat. Ricky, he realized he didn't know what to say, so he just reached for the closest of Warwick's hands. She was adopted. He's not. Warwick just shook his head slowly. He's not your father. Grissom finished for Warwick when he didn't complete the sentence. There wasn't a father listed on her birth certificate. That's one thing we have in common. Warwick snorted in disgust. Grissom knew the subject of Warwick's biological father was closed at this point. Why don't you try to get some sleep? I don't know if I can. Warwick sat back on the couch and rubbed his eyes with his palms. then just lie down for a while. Grissom was undressing in the bedroom while Warwick used the restroom. Meticulous as ever, he folded his pants and put them on the back of the chair next to the closet. Warwick stuck his head out of the bathroom door. Are both of these yours? He held up two toothbrushes. He knew Grissom had a thing about sharing hygiene equipment. Only the blue one. Warwick stepped out of the bathroom. And this one? Just in case. Warwick nodded and went to brush his teeth. Grissom was lying on his back, already under the covers. Warwick came in wearing an A-frame and his boxers. He lay down on his left side, facing Grissom. Music? Grissom knew it sometimes helped the younger man sleep. I'm cool. Warwick had yet to pull the covers over himself. He looked at the bedspread. Gil? Hmm? Grissom rolled over onto his side, arm under his neck for support. You're always here for me. Warwick's voice was full of amazement. Grissom paused to catch Warwick's gaze. I love you. I love you too. Warwick finally raised his eyes. Grissom pulled the covers up over Warwick. Try to sleep, he whispered as he turned off the lamp. The end.